This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
Well, I was, during the break, this is a mistake I make every once in a while. This is why I try to stay off of Facebook. But I use Facebook mainly to post pictures of perhaps my bunny, of my daughter, of my wife, of our puppy, of the other animals. So I do not do politics on Facebook and haven't done it for a long time. But then when I posted, because my daughter left my wife a really, really cool letter, I put it up on the X, formerly Twitter, as well. Then I start paging through Facebook and I see, you know, someone who I know, who's friends with my wife, saying, "I'm truly confused as to why so many are posting about Charlie Kirk. I don't hear the same outrage when it's innocent children gunned down at school. Ask yourself why." Are you kidding me? Of course you hear the outrage. You hear it constantly from people on the left, but it's all about gun control. I mean, what I don't even know what kind of world these people live in. Sometimes, but this is why I stay off of social media, because it's a dangerous place to be. I do love the X, formerly Twitter. There's a lot of stuff happening up on there. And look, I've said this before. There's vile stuff that's said from people on the right. I'm not a big fan of people who have been, you know, exposed as being lunatics out there and really, really evil people reacting to this. And then people on the right chime in with stuff that's just as evil and nasty. So some of that is hypocritical, but there is vile stuff that's being shared out there. And like I said before, God, I hope that they find this guy and they lock him down, because there's going to be a lot of conspiracy theorists. There already are, I'm sure. John Ziegler's here, the co-host of the podcast, The Death of Journalism. I'm sure that the conspiracy theorists are already at it. John, wouldn't you think, if they don't have someone specifically to name here?
Based upon my X feed, they're out in full force, as they are on every major story. It's very frustrating to deal with them. I'm an ardent anti-conspiracy person. And,
as am I.
And, you know, but look, I am somebody who I even tweeted this last night, and it got quite a bit of traction. I think that there's a pretty strong argument to be made that whoever did this is not in the normal vein of lone nut job. That doesn't mean that they're, you know, a hired gun from a foreign country. It just means they knew what they were doing. And I think the fact that it was only one shot and that the shot killed is almost unique in assassinations, and not consistent at all with a lone nut. Educated or unexperienced nut instinctively fires multiple shots. That did not happen here, and they also tend to get caught before 24 hours is up, especially in this day and age where we have all this technology and all these resources. I'm rather stunned.
I am too.
That we don't even have an identity yet. We don't even have an identity yet. I mean, as far as I know, and the fact that he's not in custody is really disturbing. And of course, you know, the first 48 hours are usually incredibly key. If you don't get them in 48 hours, you may be a while. So We're kind of running out of time here. But I can't stand the conspiracy theories. I can't stand, obviously, every part of the story. This is horrendous from every possible aspect.
It's awful, and I made the mistake, as I did with the young woman on the train in Charlotte, of watching, you know, several angles of the video, and I'm kind of sorry that I did that. But what would you say, as a guy who hosts a podcast about the media, on how the media is handling this, right? I mean, some of the things that were said on MSNBC were just disgusting. They sent Matthew Dowd packing pretty quickly. I thought that there was some, you know, responsibility. I was watching CNN last night because I couldn't help myself. I get home. Usually I tune things out when I get home and just do things with the family. But I wanted to see, first of all, I wanted to see if the shooter was going to be caught because there was some confusion about that. But Anderson Cooper genuinely seemed to be struggling with how to cover the story, with how to ask questions about a guy like Charlie Kirk. It was not his, you know, comfort zone last night. So I think that most of them were trying to be responsible in the way that they covered it. MSNBC apparently didn't even care.
I think that's fair. I watch mostly, I go back and forth between CNN and Fox because I don't even consider MSNBC to be serious. And every time something like this happens, whether it's the Charlotte murder or this situation or many others, I keep thinking that, especially, you know, post-Trump election, that some of these left-wing outlets are going to at least pretend to get it, right? Because they understand that the world is at least temporarily changed, but that never seems to occur, and it certainly didn't on MSNBC. I will be somewhat defensive of CNN, where I wasn't overtly offended by anything that I saw, although I can certainly understand what you're talking about, because let's be clear, in the old guard of the media, right, you know, 5-10 years ago, Charlie Kirk is someone who the mainstream news media would never have even given the credibility to even mention.
That's
right?
True.
These people didn't even exist until there was no way to ignore them in this, you know, current era of social medias and obviously podcasting and everything else that's changed the media world, where the legacy media power has diminished greatly and the power of a Charlie Kirk has increased dramatically. And so now they have no choice. I remember, as an example, and he wasn't murdered, but I'm sure you obviously remember my then good friend Andrew Breitbart. When he died, right? I found that to be bizarre, that all of a sudden he was the subject of lots of mainstream media coverage, which, by the way, he would have loved, that he never got in life.
Yeah, right.
Because it was only in death that it was okay to acknowledge how relevant he was. But it was, I just found it bizarre. I was watching NBC Nightly News and Brian Williams at the time leading with the death of Andrew Breitbart. I'm like, your audience has no idea who Andrew is because you never told them who he was.
I mean, so. Well, there might be some of that going on. You know, like I just, right before you hopped on the line, I was posting something, and I hardly do this, John, I was mentioning, because it's such a toxic place, but it's my wife's birthday today, and not unlike you, I have a daughter, and my daughter left her a lovely gift and a note, and I put this up on Facebook, and then I happen to, you know, scroll down, and I see someone who is a friend of my wife's, who I know, saying, I don't understand all the attention for, you know, Charlie Kirk. They don't do it with the school shootings. I'm like, yeah, they do. Have you ever opened up Facebook after a school shooting? Everybody up there is virtue signaling and talking about guns. But I also wonder if there is that disconnect with a lot of people on the other side because they weren't aware of the impact that he had. Look, I'll be honest, John. I was caught off guard a little bit in the reaction that some younger people, including my producer, Ethan, who got you on the phone line, had. He got very emotional yesterday. He had been following Charlie for, you know, several years since he was about 15. Ethan's turning 25 this week. So I think I even underestimated how popular he was with that, you know, young conservative group. I've never had him on the air. I'm a fan. I've played a lot of his audio. But, I mean, this did impact a lot of people in a very, very, you know, significant way.
Let me tell you a story that might knock your socks off about how far Charlie Kirk's reach goes. So, literally, just before you called to put me on the air, I was on the phone with former NBC Today Show host Matt Lauer, who I've become very good friends with, bizarrely.
Yeah.
And we were talking about this, and he had seen the video of my daughter Grace responding to getting an autographed cap from a MAGA cap from Charlie Kirk.
I'm going to play that in a second. We're going to tell that story, but go ahead.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Well, so much to my surprise, Matt Lauer, a card-carrying member of the liberal media elite, told me, "Yeah, my two sons are really broken up about this.
Yeah.
They were huge Charlie Kirk fans. They're in college." Okay, so the Matt Lauer's sons. Now that's making an impact.
Yeah. I mean, that's, I even heard, look, on the flip side, John Roberts comes on Fox today, and he said he had like a 14-year-old son, and he didn't even know. He was unaware that his son, you know, had followed and was a fan. So that's kind of crazy. All right, so before I play, and look, I think this is very special, this audio and video that you posted. And, you know, I've kind of seen your daughter grow up. I'm a girl dad as well. My daughter's 10. Your daughter, I think, is 13. Grace, I know that you have posted about her many times. And I've, you know, been a fan from afar just because I'm such a girl dad as well. But set this story up so I can play the audio, because I think it's pretty cool. And okay, the other side of the story is how you had to explain this to your daughter yesterday, that this guy that she's a fan of, you know, was murdered. So
right.
What's the backstory?
Yeah. So the backstory is that my daughter's always been political. She's been a fan of Trump. In fact, you know, when Trump was shot and survived last year, she did a remarkable piece of art of Trump in the aftermath shaking his fist, and she called it "The Day We Won the Election." So, I mean, so which, by the way, turned out to be true.
Yeah,
I think. But unbeknownst to me, through watching videos online, she had become a big fan of Charlie Kirk. And when we started talking about this, I spontaneously started to record. This is not the audio you're about to play. This is what sets it up.
Right, right.
Her talking about how she became a fan of Charlie Kirk. So I posted it online. I can't remember if I sent it to Charlie or Charlie saw it or whatever, but he shared it, and he responded to the video saying, "That's, you know, God bless her. I'm going to send her a signed hat." And, of course, you know celebrities,
right,
Mark.
Right.
I didn't want to get my daughter's hopes up that this person that she was looking at as a hero was actually going to send her something personalized. But I felt pretty good about Charlie. I just had a good sense about Charlie that he would come through. So I told her about it. And sure enough, a week later, a package comes in the mail, and I decided to record that. And I think that's what you're about to play.
And this is only like a month ago. This is like on August 8th?
Yes.
Okay, so yes. Check this out.
What'd you get?
Charlie Kirk. Oh my gosh. I'm going to be the most
He signed a hat for
I'm going to be the most popular girl in church.
Okay. Well,
I'm
going to
wear this on Sunday. Like,
he promised you a signed hat.
Oh my gosh.
Now,
Bible.
Are you going to be able to read the book?
Yeah, totally.
You're going to learn how to read this to read his book?
June 1964.
Well, he kept his promise.
Thank you so much. This is the best day of my life. This is Christmas, birthday, Easter, all in one.
Okay, the best day of your life?
Yeah. No, it's better than the day Trump won the election.
Okay, all right. Wow. All right, that's a lot to process.
Yeah. By the way, as a side note, Grace Ziegler probably a bigger fan of Trump than John Ziegler. Is that fair to say at this point?
Oh my gosh! I mean, trust it. I mean, if no one can ever accuse me of putting my beliefs on my children,
yes,
I am not a fan of Trump. And look, I thought Charlie Kirk was great, but I had some concerns about him and problems with him. But I will forever, even before obviously with the tragic events of yesterday, I was always going to be very loyal to Charlie Kirk, because there's nothing that a parent can ask for more than for you to give your child joy, and Charlie Kirk did that. And so I mourn his death, and I will never forget him for that, and I will always be thankful. And it's just tragic what happened. And of course, you know, I ended up calling my wife, who's a teacher at Grace's school, to alert her as to what was happening, and that it looked very, very grave. And when Grace got home, it was pretty much about as bad as I expected. I mean, she was full bawling, totally in tears. You know, we embraced, and it was a moment. But I have to say, she was pretty good after that. Mm-hmm. Pretty resilient. This morning, she got all dressed up in a red, white, and blue. By the way, she wore the MAGA hat that's signed by Charlie Kirk all last night. And then she didn't think she could get away with wearing the MAGA hat to school, so she wore her most patriotic outfit and then made a sign for her locker that said, "Stop the violence, love Charlie." And so I thought that she handled it pretty well.
You should be very proud of that little girl, John. And I know that you are. And I know that I think you were a little hesitant to come on and you know, talk about this because you don't want to be the focus of this big story. But I thought that was very special. I really did. And I shared it. And I got such great reaction from people when I put it up yesterday and I played it. So I'm glad that you shared the story. And I hope that Grace is doing okay.
Well, I appreciate that, Mark. I really don't like it when people try to make huge stories, especially tragic ones, about themselves. And that's not the intention here. The intention here is to show people the impact that Charlie Kirk had on even 13-year-old little girls.
And
in
I know that. And I know you. And that's why I wanted to have you on again tonight. So thanks, Zig. I appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
Mark.
Okay. Okay. Take care. I thought that was really good. And the video, I did put that up on the X, formerly Twitter, at Mark Reardon KFTK. So check that out. Tomorrow, no shortage of things to talk about on the Reardon Roundtable, including the assassination and the aftermath of the assassination of Charlie Kirk. But I also have to, you know, make mention of the fact, because I'll certainly have fun with this tomorrow, that Jane Duker's prom date, former Missouri House Speaker John Deal, was indicted and pled guilty to stealing a bunch of COVID relief money today. And that guy, he had a scandal when he left office, and then he decided to steal about $300,000, or actually I think it was closer to $400,000 in loans that were supposed to help struggling businesses during COVID.
Nice.
And he was caught red-handed, and they not only announced the indictment today, but he pleaded guilty, and then sentencing comes in December. The first question that a couple of people asked me, and it is a legitimate question, Sue, was John Deal ever on the roundtable? Because, as you know,
it is a fair question.
We have five former members, actually one current. He'll be here tomorrow. Five people who have been on the Reardon roundtable in the last 15 years who have gone to federal prison.
Yeah.
And something I'm particularly proud of.
That's something to hold your head high.
Jeff Smith was one of them a long time ago. He worked his way back into the fold. But no, I don't think John had ever been on the roundtable. I can't say that with 100% confidence, but I do not believe that he was. So an update here on what's going on in Utah. We started the afternoon. I guess when I'm coming in here today, I'm driving in, I'm monitoring Fox. They make an announcement that there's going to be some sort of event closer to 2 o'clock from Utah with officials briefing them on the latest. That quickly was changed. They delayed it. I felt like maybe it would selfishly work in our favor a little bit where we would air it here on the show. It's almost 5:30, and here's the latest, okay? This is Jennifer Jacobs at CBS News. She's usually a pretty good reporter, White House correspondent. News: federal law enforcement officials believe they have identified the name of a person of interest. Two U.S. officials and a law enforcement source told a couple of reporters and Jennifer, so far no arrest warrant has been issued in the Charlie Kirk case. Leads are being investigated, but no suspect is in custody at the moment. Trump told us outside the White House before leaving for the Yankees game, "I hear they're making big progress, and we'll have to see what happens." So, you know, there was a lot of confusion even when we left the air last night, because, Sue, as you remember, you know, there was a period where Kash Patel goes out there. And I think even when I left the air last night, it was one of those situations where I thought that they had, you know, the guy in custody. Well, then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like watermelon, wild berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Not too long after that, when I get home, and this is not good for Cash Patel, by the way. You know, the local guys had it right. We aired the news conference yesterday. My feeling is the local guys knew that they didn't have anyone that was the shooter.
Yeah.
But then all of a sudden they're getting text messages saying, hey, the FBI director is saying you guys got the guy. So they kind of rolled with it a little bit, and they called it a person of interest because they had taken one person
yes.
into custody.
And there was a video.
Right. And then there was somebody else that was taken into custody as a person of interest and released. Right. And then they even went on this morning begging people because, and this is what makes me feel uncomfortable, I don't know what those two people did to put them on the radar of local police and get them into the station for questioning. But what I do know is that even though they apparently had nothing to do with this, their lives are being ruined as well because social media goes after them. And that is something I'm not very, you know, comfortable with. But Cash Patel does himself no, you know, great service because after he goes out there and he wants to be the guy that says it first, the FBI director then has to say the subject in custody has been released after an interrogation by law enforcement. Our investigation continues and we will continue to release information in interest of transparency. Okay, well, let's do that, but let's make sure we get the right information,
exactly.
Right? Because we criticize the media all the time for jumping the gun. And I think in this particular case, the FBI director jumped the gun just a little bit. Have you heard about the South Park episode?
Which, oh, no, about this?
No, so this is interesting, though, okay? South Park has an episode in which they mock Charlie Kirk. I don't even know from how long ago it was. But I've seen a lot of people out there. They pulled it off, right? Mm-hmm. I've seen a lot of folks out there say, no, don't do that. Put it back up. And you know why? Charlie would have wanted it back up. Here's what he said about the episode. Listen, I think there's some clips from it, too.
Huh. Okay, everybody, the South Park episode just dropped, and honestly, it is hilarious. I mean, part of it is kind of like whatever, typical humor, but it was hilarious. Just watch this little snippet of our Prove Me Wrongs, our viral cultural domination on prime time on Comedy Central. So important, so impactful that South Park is highlighting. Watch it.
I'm sick of people stealing my shtick. If anyone around here is going to be a master debater, it's me. So let's go. Who wants to debate the master debater? Let's go. You right there.
That's the stupidest haircut I've ever seen.
You are wrong. Leviticus 3:17 says it shall be a perpetual statute for your generations throughout all your dwellings. So you can shut up, baby. You just hate America and you love abortions.
All right, Cartman's not very happy there, but Charlie Kirk was.
Again, we got our own award show as part of South Park. I was told going in, Charlie, if they say your name, that's a big win. Well, apparently there's the Charlie Kirk Awards.
Hello and welcome to the 3rd annual Charlie Kirk Award for Young Master Debaters. More and more young people today are learning to fight for America through master debation. We're here to honor the recent efforts of a brave young man who has been furiously master debating for the past several days.
Now, there's going to be a lot said about this, but we need to have a good spirit about being made fun of. This is all a success. This is all a win. We as conservatives, we have thick skin, not thin skin. And you can make fun of us. It doesn't matter. And until next time, I hope all of you also become master debaters for truth.
Perfect. He handled
wow.
that perfectly.
Yeah.
And I'm so particularly proud of that moment because one of the things I hate is when people on the right act like people on the left and they whine about stuff and they do stupid stuff. So the way that he handled that was amazing. And let me give you an example of something on the right that is just ridiculously stupid. And I get that emotions are running high and all that stuff. But there's a guy out there, Clay Higgins. I think he's from Louisiana. And he's a congressman. And he tweets this out today. He says, I'm going to use congressional authority and every influence with big tech platforms to mandate immediate bans for life for every post or commentator that is belittled the assassination of Charlie Kirk. If they ran their mouth with their smart-ass hatred celebrating the heinous murder of that beautiful young man who decided his whole life to delivering respectful conservative truth into the hearts of liberal enclave universities armed with only a Bible and a microphone and a constitution. So I'm going to lean forward in this fight demanding that big tech have zero tolerance for all violent political hate content and for the user to be banned from all platforms for forever. That was in caps. No, 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 Clay. That's not what you do. As disgusting and as vile as some of the posts are, this is 100% not the answer. And you're acting like a Democrat. Do not do that. Some of the reactions to Charlie Kirk's death are really fascinating. Even some people who are, you know, persona non grata in the current conservative world. Meghan McCain, for example, tweeted out, "My entire life for 20 years is completely ensconced by my community of friends and colleagues who work in conservative politics or in media in one form or the other. Every single one of us is despondent and truly furious. I'm telling you, this is a paradigm-shifting moment." That's, a lot of people don't like Meghan McCain. My friend Selena Zito, who is someone that was there 3 feet away from Donald J. Trump when the assassination in Butler took place. She wrote a book called Butler. And she responded because another guest on the show, and someone I know, Bethany Mandel, said this. And I can relate to this a little bit. She says, "I realize today a lot of my normie friends don't know this, how much of my social circle is people who also do this weird thing. People ask me, 'You knew Charlie? We all came up at the same time. My entire circle of friends is reeling.'" Now, I did not know him personally. I did not have a connection. But Selena did, in her response to what Bethany said here just a few minutes ago on the X, formerly Twitter, was broken. She said, "I didn't cry during or after Butler, likely because I had to work. Now I can't stop." Also because there was a survivor from Butler, right?
Right.
Close call. But, you know, there are so many people who, you know, who knew him and were friends with him. I know that Senator Schmidt was extremely broken up. He did do some national media today. He told me he's going to hold off on local media until next week, and we'll get him on. T.J. Moe is with us tonight. Former Mizzou standout and NFL player, contributes to Fearless with Jason Whitlock on Blaze TV. He's a fearless conservative himself. Did you know Charlie? I'm not even sure. How are you, T.J., this afternoon?
I'm doing well. I did not personally know Charlie. I was loosely connected because Whitlock knew him pretty well. And so he came on our show a few times. Whitlock went out and spoke at AmFest. There was a couple times I could have gone out there with him. Did not ever end up going, so did not meet Charlie. But I will tell you, that has not stopped me from shedding a lot of tears the last 2 days. And I cannot explain it, Mark. I've never experienced anything like this. I'm a pretty stoic guy. It's pretty hard to move me to tears, and I've never even met this guy. And so, in my view, this is a spiritual sadness, and I'm feeling it. I've had dozens of friends. I bet you I've had 40 people reach out to me, and I'll be like, I've never met the guy. Yeah, it's not like, "Hey, we know you're best friends with Charlie." It's just like, they're all saying, "Are you as sad as I am? I can't stop crying." And I was on with Whitlock today, and like, I couldn't really get through the segment because I couldn't talk. There's something unique about it that I can't explain. It has to be spiritual.
Yeah, and you know, I see that reaction. I give a lot of credit to Laura Ingraham, who was very close with Charlie, and Charlie's on her show. I when I leave here at 6, I turn Laura on and see, you know, maybe steal a guest or two sometimes as well. But he was on 2 nights ago, and I'm not sure how she got through her show last night, but she did in a very brave way, because a lot of these people were very close. I mentioned Senator Schmidt. You know, my friend Scott Jennings knew Charlie well, joined the air with him on Salem Radio Network. We air Scott's show now at night here on 97.1 FM Talk. So his reach was immense. The response, though, here we go again, TJ, with the media response. And I think you can put the MSNBC and the Matthew Dowd people in a different evil category. There has been, for the most part, responsible journalism done around this. I did find, and I said this earlier, that, you know, I was watching Anderson Cooper last night. He seemed to be struggling in a way that I hadn't not seen that before, where he didn't know how to cover it, you know, because I think he was trying to be cautious to not say bad things that had gotten people into trouble earlier in the day, but they genuinely didn't know how to approach it because they don't have the connection that you have or that I have or that other conservatives have to this story.
Yeah, it's an interesting observation. I am not, Whitlock kind of brought up a similar question when we were talking, and I'm, for the headspace that I'm in, I'm the wrong guest to answer this because I have avoided any coverage at all. All I've done for the last 2 days is watch different videos of Charlie trying to bring people to Jesus.
Yeah.
That's it. That was his whole thing. So Charlie, it's a weird feeling. You know, I'm not that old. I'm 34. And so not nearly as old as you, Mark.
No, thanks a lot for pointing that out. Yeah.
But it's a weird feeling for somebody my age to look up to, both politically and spiritually, to somebody younger than you. He and I had the same birthday, October 14th, 3 years younger than me. He was 31. And I remember, my brother and I run a real estate business together. And even within the last month, I was telling my brother about lessons that Charlie taught me. I never met the guy. He lived his life in such a way that you couldn't help but write something down and say, yeah, of course, why wouldn't we all want to do that? And he did it over and over and over again. So it's been really hard for me. I don't think I could stomach these crazy people saying he deserved it, or
you couldn't, you know, whether believe me. Yeah.
You know, I see vile. Crowder's reporting that, you know, it was a trans. I'm like, hey man, all that's irrelevant. This was the strongest soldier in God's army. The guy that I believe. So my spiritual belief is that we are in the middle of a revival, and we have been for probably 5-6 years. We couldn't see it the whole time, but we're in the middle of a revival. And over the last 2 to 3 years, I became convinced that Charlie Kirk was leading the revival as a 20-something-year-old back then. And today, I am now convinced that he is the revival, that he's an actual martyr that is going to lead to a revival in America. So honestly, that's all I can focus on. All this Anderson Cooper and all these guys, I mean, God bless them. I hope they all get saved. I think most of those people are atheists and Christians. I just can't focus on it. There's so much good to consume on the Charlie side. I can't stop watching it.
Well, you're doing the right thing, because, you know, I'm dumb enough to not only have watched the video of Irina Zaritska on that train, which was horrifying, and then several angles of this shooting, which equally, if not more, horrifying. So I think you're focused.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab 3 of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly,
you know,
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland,
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You're focusing on the right thing. And, you know, for me, it's a little different because I don't, you know, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form criticizing or denigrating. I don't have the spiritual connection that you do. I'm not as much a religious person. You know, I certainly believe in a higher power. So for me, he's a guy, and I never had him as a guest, which is a little surprising, but I'd love to feature his audio. You know, I do this segment, it's coming up here, called Audio Cut of the Day. I loved the exchanges, you know, because there's a guy, you probably are familiar with Chris Elston. He goes by Billboard Chris on X, and he travels the planet literally talking about the gender-affirming care of child abuse that's gone out there and trying to stop that. And he has civil conversations. And, you know, I think that's yes. What evolved with Charlie Kirk, and he had these conversations. I don't know if he changed any of these young trans people's minds, but he certainly engaged in a way that was respectful. I think he left an impression on them. And that's where he impressed me, just as a young conservative. And what I said a couple of times, and I don't even know if this is relatable, but when I grew up in the 80s as someone who voted for Ronald Reagan, because, yeah, I am old, you know, the first time that anyone came along that started saying things that I really believed in was Rush Limbaugh. So, but I was, you know, 30 by the time I started listening to Rush Limbaugh, and that eventually led me into, I was in music radio, to doing this. But it's a little, it caught me off guard how many people are affected by this in your age group. Ethan, who put you on the phone line here, is 31. He lost it yesterday, and I felt so bad for him. He was very emotional because he has some of the same connection that you have with the spirituality. So I know this is affecting a lot of people. You know, when I mentioned Meghan McCain said, I'm telling you, this is a paradigm shifting moment. A lot of people have said that, and I think that's true. I just don't know how it's going to manifest itself. You know what I mean?
Yeah, look, this is the actual, this is going to sound weird and stupid, but everybody, they think hard enough and long enough, will understand what I'm saying. This is the spiritual and actual something of substance version of George Floyd. Everybody felt this weird sort of shift when George Floyd happened. And it was like, oh, there's something different. And like the world was on fire. And obviously there was no substance and it was all a lie. And it was a disaster. But America did change, certainly for the worse, for a number of years. Now, I think everything's backed off. I think this is the substance version of that. I think this is a guy that actually lived an exemplary life, that did everything that you hope someone would do, that lived out the American dream, did not go to college, instead built a several hundred million dollar empire on his own, and spoke. He was the guy who, this is something I can't get over, and that it's part of why I'm so sad. Forever, we've heard the stupid phrase, hey, if you're conservative and you're young, you have no heart. If you're liberal and you're old, you have no brain, right?
Right.
Charlie didn't buy that. Charlie was like, nah, I don't think so. I think I'll go into Lion's Den and I'll win. And he did. He delivered the biggest. And this is just politics. But again, I'm coming at it from a spiritual side, which, by the way, Mark, you're welcome to come to church with me anytime. I would love that.
I appreciate that.
The spiritual side is actually what he cared about. So he won political votes. But in his mind, that was just a reflection that he was changing hearts and minds and nations. That's all he cared about. And so you're talking about a guy who, and again, I just keep going back to, like, I've shed a lot of tears over this, because you're talking about a guy that's 6'5", and there's a lot of science behind the fact that people follow tall people, that, like, leaders are tall.
Mm-hmm.
There's something there. He's 6'5". He had an attractive wife. He had two kids. He lived out exactly what he said. He didn't have this crazy life where he went out and he's like, yeah, it was my former life. Those were my fun years. He never had that. The guy got saved when he was in fifth grade and has been a Bible-believing Christian trying to do everything right. And here's the big difference, and it's something that I don't embody myself, and I truly admire, and I cannot think of another conservative that that demonstrates this. When he would go into the Lion's Den with whoever, because he debated people at Oxford. He'd go to any college campus. He'd go on and talk to Gavin Newsom on his podcast. It did not matter.
Yeah,
there was not an ounce of malice in his heart when he was making his arguments. All he was trying to do is have an exchange of ideas and hope that you could see both grace and truth. This is John 8. He was trying to be exemplify what Jesus did all the time. And he would explain this explicitly, because there's a lot of conservatives that I get frustrated with as a Christian, who like Matt Walsh, who I like in a lot of ways, but there's some malice in Matt's heart. It's like there's malice in my heart.
Yeah.
And Matt does not like to lead with the Christian point of view. He says, people will just write you off. You lead with a secular point of view, and that way you can win the arguments. And I'm like, I'm sitting over here as a Christian saying, who cares if you win the argument if you lose their soul? And Charlie was trying to win their souls, knowing that their minds would change after that. And so Charlie would go to work, and he would sit there and talk about John 8, where Jesus came in and they were going to stone the woman who had adultery. And he said, you know, he who's without sin, cast the first stone. That was the grace that he showed. And then he'd come right behind him, and Charlie would say, do not forget this part. It is just as important. Go and sin no more. And he always told the truth. Charlie was one of the ultimate defenders of truth without an ounce of malice in his heart. And that's what made him different.
TJ Moe, you have no idea how happy I am that I invited you to be a guest. That was so well stated, and you did a great job. And I appreciate everything you just said. And, you know, I kind of wanted to make you cry, because it sounded like you've been doing that a lot. I'm kidding, obviously, but that was so good, dude. And I love you for coming on here and for making those points, because I think they're very, very important. And, you know, it's been a tough couple of days for a lot of different people, but I think what you just said there connected with a very large portion of the audience. So I appreciate it.
Anytime, Mark. Thanks
for
having me.
Take care. I wanted to talk football so badly with him, but just not the moment right now. We got audio cut of the day coming up. All right, well, we're going to wrap up all of the news of the weekend. And I've said this before, Sue, whenever we have big stories like this, it's almost hard to believe that, you know, we were talking about Irina Zaritska a lot on Monday and Tuesday for obvious reasons because of that awful stabbing. I can't remember what I asked you. Did you watch that video?
I saw I got to the point where he puts his arm back, right, and that's why.
That's just horrific, and I hope that that story doesn't go away because it needs attention as well. But we're going to talk about all of this on the Reardon Roundtable tomorrow. Jane will be here. Her prom date, true story. John Deal, former House Speaker. I always like to tease Jane about this. He's going to the big house because he pleaded guilty today to stealing about $400,000 in COVID relief money. And John Deal, who had left the legislature a long time ago under some, you know, circumstances that weren't that great involving an intern, had a law firm, decided to swipe a bunch of taxpayer money. You know, these are interesting cases, the white-collar crime. I don't know. Typically, it's like a two-year sentence.
Yeah, but that's right.
Man, 2 years for $400,000, he might think that's worth it, right?
I don't know.
I have no idea. But one of the topics we'll talk about on the roundtable tomorrow.
Stand by. Playback ready.
Now, the audio cut of the day.
You know, I will say, as part of these deals that they sign, and I don't know all the specifics, there's an agreement to pay back the money also. Let me tell you something. The money never gets paid back. So there's an agreement. Right, exactly. There's always an agreement to pay back the money. There's never paying back the money. President Trump is in New York. Brian Kilmeade told me earlier this afternoon he's going to be live on Fox in the morning. Now, these things sometimes change. But here's what he said earlier today at the Pentagon.
Before we begin, let me express the horror and grief so many Americans at the heinous assassination of Charlie Kirk have felt. Charlie was a giant of his generation, a champion of liberty, and an inspiration to millions and millions of people. Our prayers are with his wonderful wife, Eric, and his beautiful children. Fantastic people they are. We miss him greatly, yet I have no doubt that Charlie's voice and the courage he put into the hearts of countless people, especially young people, will live on. I'm pleased to announce that I will soon be awarding Charlie Kirk posthumously the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The date of the ceremony will be announced, and I can only guarantee you one thing, that we will have a very big crowd. Very, very big.
So that was the president earlier today. He sounded a little bit under the weather. Yeah. Ethan, you think that he was very emotional when he came out and said that.
You saw him walking up on the stage, and I mean, his look said everything.
Yeah,
his look said everything.
I mean, it going to affect him a lot different than the rest of us who never took a bullet to, you know, near our brain like he did. But again, we'll cover all of this on the roundtable tomorrow. And then in the 4 o'clock hour, all the fun stuff, we'll have Paul Hall on entertainment, also Frank Cusimano. I think we're still trying to put together some of the 5 o'clock hour, but it will be fantastic. Do we have anyone? I can't remember.
Brad Young.
Brad's going to reflect on some of the stuff. So all of that tomorrow. I'm going to watch a little football. A little tough here for me tonight as a Packers fan because I have Jaden as my fantasy quarterback. You know that, Ethan. Mixed feelings. Go Pack.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.